Good afternoon, and welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Monday, 5:05 p.m. to 6 p.m. Immediately following Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. That's your show that you'll get all kinds of trading advice and roll right in to hear about your weekly roundup, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain, and other news, including artificial intelligence and the Internet of Things and much, much more. So let's see who's made it into the studio today. Well, that's the theme music from Talking Markets, just to reinforce the point a little bit more. Sticking around to help us out on this show, too, is Andrew Gonti. We know him as Andy. Andy, thanks for sticking around.
Hey, I'm always happy to be here, Henry. Always happy to be here. And thank you for my Gator mug. I just love that mug.
Well, they think you're talking about the University of Florida. It's much more important.
It's much more,
and more
important than that.
More of a winner than the University of Florida.
That's right. It's my grandson. That's his nickname, Gator.
And
How more redneck can you get than that, huh?
I'm just so glad that the photo I pulled off your Facebook page to surprise
it's
you
the
with
right one.
Was actually your grandchild. And we would have made it good either way. Well, that's not all we have here today.
So you say that old and true.
We were looking for him last week, but he had important business elsewhere. But he's back this week, and of course, is Augie. Hi, Augie.
Hey, Henry. It's great to be back, and I can almost make it here with the traffic being as crazy as it is, and I've never seen it so bad, frankly.
Well, you have all that pent-up demand from when we had the red tide, and now the spring breakers are here.
All true.
And all the families
are on. And everyone's moving out of New York.
Yeah. I'm actually driving up from farther south. And Sarasota than you, so I see all that stuff that you're trying to get off Siesta Key with,
oh, it's terrible.
With coming from every direction. But this isn't the traffic report.
beep, beep.
What has happened this week? Well, transactions per Bitcoin block have gone to its all-time high in the past few days, but is it really what it seems? SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, has delayed its decision on a rule change to the Securities Act that would allow the listing of Bitcoin ETFs. And Coinbase's custody arm is trying to entice institutional investors into a brave new world of staking crypto assets for profit. Well, that was a mouthful, but it mainly means that they're going to be able to pay interest, effectively interest, three times what institutions can get in money markets. Plus, Coinbase's director of institutional sales, Christina Sandler, has left the cryptocurrency startup for Fidelity Investments, where she'll be handling the institutional sales to cryptocurrency institutions that want to get involved with that. So we have that and more. I actually did my intros early, so we
covered the whole show.
I just couldn't wait to talk to the two of you. I guess that was it.
You knew, Henry, that Mr. Powell, head of the Fed, has decided to go flat with the interest rates, and that may well have
today.
Caused... Yeah, I think so.
The market's saying that there's going to be a cut.
He's going to go lower.
Well, that's what the market is pricing in.
That should help Bitcoin because you're going to see people paying to keep their money in savings, which is not a good thing.
Well, you know, Randall Quarles is talking, he's one of the governors, and he's talking about maybe increasing, looking at additional rate hikes. That's why you kind of seen the whipsaw on the markets lately.
Well, that's... That's going to be a real test for them to decide which way to go on that.
Well, you know, the United States is the only place that has really any inflation going on, any growth going on, especially with the data that came out today. It was pretty dismal for Europe. I mean, Europe's just a mess right now.
Well, strong manufacturing data out of China. As we do this, if you're not listening on the podcast, you're listening in Tampa Bay live on WWPR 1490 AM. If you're listening on the podcast, then it may be... a little delayed.
Augie needs to come in early for the first show.
Well, you be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
But
it is affecting. You know, we have seen some. There has been a correlation between Bitcoin and the dollar, and it's because Bitcoin is just kind of trading flat. So the dollar is having an effect.
Precursor of a recession.
Well, as we speak, so people that have a reference point to all this, Bitcoin is trading at $4,128 on Coinbase. It's been as high as $4,145 today. And it's actually, over the last 4 or 5 days, I would say, Andy will correct me if I'm wrong, it's been inching up $20 to $30 a day.
Yeah.
Less, you know, 1% would be $40, so not even, it's trading like you want a good stock to trade.
Yes.
Just slowly accumulating and increasing price. So we'll see. So what are you on seekingcryptos.com and also to your Talking Markets audience for the people that missed the show? What are your thoughts on Bitcoin and its movement?
Well, I like the movement. I mean, it's grinding higher. It's not falling apart here. I don't like the area. There's a lot of resistance here. This is an area where it's failed to break through 3-4 other times. So it really needs to push through this area.
I think the articles on SeekingCryptos.com, you've repeatedly said 4250 is where it has to break through for to make you a
There's a lot of resistance. An ideal move would be up to 4,500 and then a pullback and find 4,250 as support. That would be an ideal in a unicorn world where everybody gets milk chocolate for breakfast.
Unicorns have more than one horn.
That's right. And that would be the ideal move. 4,500 and pullback and find 4,200 for support. That would be a good area to go long.
Well, the danger to the economy.
You guys still have the risk of it pulling back. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
The danger to the economy is an inverse economy, which is where we're headed into, very possibly, which will lead to a major recession.
You're talking about an inverted yield curve,
yes,
right?
Well, and so Bitcoin will probably gain in that atmosphere.
Absolutely.
Will gold gain is the other question.
Well, gold should gain, but it's getting hit by the dollar right now. And I think the recession challenges, I think it's going to be more of an earning recession. We'll find out. NFP is going to be very interesting. The JOLTS report, still over 7 million job openings, and that's just at all-time high. So as long as that job opening, I think you're more fear of inflation in a growing economy.
Well, with Bitcoin, for those that have been watching it for a long time and didn't just happen upon the show today, you go back to the high of December of 2017, where going into that, every bit of good news would send it even higher parabolically.
Yeah.
And then we've come to a point now where relatively bad news or disappointing news
doesn't affect
wasn't making it go lower, and now we're at a point where even with a delay in the Bitcoin ETF that we'll talk about in a minute, we still see this grinding higher. So let's go ahead and actually get into the news of the week.
I tell you, I've got news.
Well, if you listen to last week's show, there was a story that came out from Bitwise, and they actually did a study that they sent forwarded to the Securities and Exchange Commission, and they said that 95% of all the reported Bitcoin trading volume was fake, that there were roughly 10 legitimate exchanges that were doing in billions of dollars of volume that were really doing billions of dollars of volume. The other exchanges were using bots to do wash trading back and forth within their own system. So if you're thinking about that when we talk about this next item, it's a little bit different. The average transactions per Bitcoin block have gone to an all-time high in the past few days. Many people are attributing the rise in operations to a company called Verablock. Verablock is said to be creating as many as 20% of the total transactions on the Bitcoin blockchain at this time. So if we just take this at surface value by the headline, more transactions would seem like more adoption, more use. That isn't necessarily the case, but it is different from dollar volume. The dollar volume is like done when they're doing wash trading. It's just ledgers going back and forth within their own system. They're not actually paying mining fees. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to afford to manufacture this volume in the wash tray. So what is Verablock? Well, that's something that also you'd have to go back and listen to some of our, especially when Stephen Lubka's been here, where there are other coins besides Bitcoin that can be mined on the Bitcoin blockchain, which allows these alternative coins that attach themselves to Bitcoin to be more defended against the 51% attack, because they have the huge Bitcoin network that would have to get a 51% attack against it, as opposed to some of these small coins where, you know, couple smart guys in a basement and a few computers.
With a Packard Bell.
Yeah, so you're networking 10 or 20 Packard Bells, and you've cornered the market on Poopcoin. So, anyway, according to blockchain.info, the current transaction rate, and by the way, all transactions are on the public ledgers, and they can be looked at. You may not know who they are, but you know the transaction. It's at an all-time high, the actual highest ever recorded in a single day since December of 2017, when Bitcoin was around 20,000. Verablock went live a few days ago, and according to Block Explorer, it currently represents 19% of the total Bitcoin transactions. People were concerned about when they saw it was in a testing stage. Is there enough demand for Verablock service? Well, what we said is what it is, it enables alternative blockchains to leverage the hash power of Bitcoin. So exactly what we were saying before, it enables these small coins to get onto the Bitcoin blockchain and provide more security. Verablock calls their concept proof of proof. It describes itself this way. Proof of proof mining enables blockchains to inherit and leverage the proof of work from a superior blockchain such as Bitcoin. As a result, reinforce security, et cetera, is pretty much what we just told you. Well, that's okay right now. The Bitcoin transactions aren't costing much. But what happens when Bitcoin starts to run again and Bitcoin starts to get enabled? Is this going to be this anchor around the Bitcoin blockchain transactions getting processed? Is it going to slow it down? Is it going to cause prices to rise? Well, I wish I could answer that for you, but we don't know. But stay tuned to the show in the weeks to come, and we'll let you know what happens from there. So anyway, that was a headline that would have got you feeling good about things, and when you look behind it, there's not that much to it. Well, this probably next headline would tend to make you not feel good about things, but on the other hand, the price of Bitcoin should make you feel like this maybe isn't such big news. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has delayed the decision on the Rule Change of Security Act that would allow Bitcoin trade ETFs. Now, we have the two that are in the wings, Bitwise, which is the same company that filed a report with the SEC about fake volume, trying to show that they're aware of this and they're not going to be influenced by it. And then we also have the Van Eck Solid X / Chicago Board of Options Exchange ETF. Now, both of these have been delayed to approximately May 21st, May 22nd. It's about a day different for each one. What that really means, though, is it's probably going to be delayed two times after that for another 3 months. So according to Jake Chervinsky, who is a securities lawyer, the final deadline for these SEC decisions look to be October 13th and October 18th.
Did you ever see the movie Trading Places? I'm sure you guys have seen
it.
And they cornered the orange juice market.
Well, that was probably the thing. I remember that because you mentioned it, but mainly I just remember Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd and them getting the
movie.
I get this kind of feeling that they're trying to corner the Bitcoin market and accumulate as much as they can before this
Who's
ETF
that?
Comes out.
Who are
Goldman
they?
Sachs.
Just
Did
Goldman
you see
Sachs?
Their stock price jump up today? Their stock price rallied today. I was like, Goldman Sachs? But yes, I think they have cornered the Bitcoin market and everybody is onto it.
Well, you might be a little tongue-in-cheek with that, but I think you're onto something, because the behavior of this Bitcoin just seems like it's just this grinding accumulation. It's, you know, it doesn't seem like there is the volume that can be dumped on the market, or that it's willing to be dumped on the market to drive the price down. It's almost like that has washed out a few different times over the last few months. We saw it go down to 3,200, I think 3,500, but, but otherwise it's been hitting the 38, and now we have these lower lows, just tiny incrementally getting better.
Slow grind.
So either you know, they're sucking me in, which they have. And that was their whole goal, is to suck in Henry Raines, the Henry Raines Show, to go back into Bitcoin.
I heard that on the news.
Yeah. Well,
Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, well, at least I'll have the satisfaction when I dump my holdings of bringing the whole market down. So,
but, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with buying here if you don't have a lot. I mean, it just depends on your position.
But, you know, if you look at that time frame, and I don't think they're buying for the ETF, because I think the institutions of large purchases that are buying through Coinbase custody, through Fidelity Investments custody, they have – that's not a factor for them. They don't need an exchange-traded fund to buy into these things, unless it's in the charter of whatever mutual fund is trying to buy, and they have to buy – an exchange traded fund,
but it does broaden who can buy it. I mean, it'll be mixed into different ETFs and that's where you're really going to get the big one. Where the retail guy can go, oh, I can put $100 in there.
Well, I was looking at GBTC, the Grayscale Bitcoin Investment Trust, on the over the counter market, which through the past couple of years and more than a couple of years, but it followed the run, and at one time it had a 50% premium over the actual Bitcoin it held. But I was looking at that, not for myself, but for someone else that wanted to get into Bitcoin but didn't want to go through the whole Coinbase setup. Or actually, they wanted me to help them set up the account on Coinbase. I didn't want to help them set up the account on Coinbase. So I was looking at GBTC.
There you go.
And I did a chart for just the week, and I saw the price of the investment trust had gone up 10%. Well, although Bitcoin's gone up from around 3,900 to 4,100, that's only 5%, not 10% like GBTC. So that premium on GBTC is starting to expand. So,
and you bring a whole bunch of other, and one of the reasons is because that's a traded market. So you have traders trading that. And so that creates liquidity. And once you get Bitcoin into an ETF and you're able to trade it, you'll see a lot more volume. The prices will be more stable, and hopefully it'll just continue to rise. There's only 19 million Bitcoin. I mean, look what happened with Tilray. They only had 18 million shares.
And for those of you that are interested in stocks, you will actually hear me give stock commentary.
Yes.
If you listen through the entire Talking Markets show
week.
That will be up on the Talking Markets. Actually, SeekingCryptos.com is the easiest place to find the archive of the Talking Market show.
Yep.
There are other places, but that's their secondary. Go to SeekingCryptos.com probably late tonight, and you can listen to all the great advice and then listen to my sketchy advice at the very end of a stock that has a very small float, even smaller than Tilray.
Going back to the Bitcoin ETF, do you ever think they're going to get a Bitcoin ETF?
Yes.
You do think that. How about you?
I really can't speak. I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. I mean, I think they're eventually going to have a Bitcoin ETF.
Well, you have Hester Pierce that is for. You got that yes vote. You have the new Trump appointee that has said he thinks that there will be one. They just have to resolve these issues.
And then you have
the Obama holdover that has shifted. Well, we never really knew where he was other than there was a no vote.
Yeah.
But now in public statements, it looks like he's in the camp over there. So I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but it's like the fix is in.
It is. And we just need Goldman Sachs to go,
not
okay,
that anybody
can
could fix something.
Yeah,
on
not Goldman Sachs. But yeah.
They're an independent
Absolutely.
Board of great integrity. But, you know, there is a certain scent in the air, if you will.
Yeah.
Smell. Oh.
That's going to be the big difference for Bitcoin. It really is. It's going to be the big difference. And depending on what other coins come along, if they allow, Ethereum or Litecoin and those other ones to be part of an ETF, then, that'll be big.
By the way, and just a brief aside, in Florida news, it's not in the rundown, but the blockchain, of course, everything we're talking about is built on a blockchain, the blockchain task force bill, that is in the Florida legislature. And, the Florida legislature, the legislators are in the news all year long, but they really only meet for 60 days. So if nothing gets done in 60 days, it's next year. But the bill that was introduced to create the Blockchain Task Force for Florida to promote blockchain technology and blockchain businesses in Florida had to go through either 6 or 8 different subcommittees on the Senate and the House, respectively, both sides, that many subcommittees. And I think it's through 4 or 5 of them as of today. So the some of these subcommittees won't even meet again for the rest of the year. So, but it does look like it's got the momentum to make it through and possibly become law this year. So that's your update on that.
On the half hour.
Pardon me?
On the half hour.
What about the half hour?
Oh, you don't do a break at the half.
Well, we break when we want to break around here. Andy's going to have to leave in a little while, so I wanted to get as much of his commentary.
I've seen some of the geniuses on the House Ways and Means Committee, and boy, I'm not sure.
State of Florida? Oh my God!
No, it's State of Florida.
Almost all the subcommittees have been voted unanimously for it.
No, I'm talking about the federal government. So I mean, well, they don't even know what the 3 branches of the government are.
That's nonsense.
So, how are we ever going to get them to understand Bitcoin?
There's only one.
Anyway, the BACT was something that we were updating. BAKKT, which is the cryptocurrency exchange that was under the ICE, the parent company of the New York Stock Exchange. A couple of little updates on that. On March 30th, not too long ago, CEO of BAC, Kelly Loeffler, who happens to be the spouse, wife of the chairman, Jeff Sprecher, of the New York Stock Exchange and the chairman of ICE and the founder of ICE, said the platform's progress and a platform's progress because they were introducing some new board members. And they're having a little bit of trouble getting through the Commodities Futures and Trading Commission, but they're making progress, according to Ms. Loeffler. But I think in the interplay of all this, as we've said before, what would this be like, well, for the CEO of the company to put his wife in charge of this, and what kind of conversations go on? In one sense, it must be something serious, because he's putting his wife there.
He definitely don't want to set her up for failure.
Yeah, right, exactly. But on the other hand, sometimes you got to step in. So some of the new board members for BACT are all equals, but more equal than others. Is husband, Jeff Sprecher, who is now also on the board of BACT. She was also bringing in Tom Noonan, a cyber expert and founder of Internet Security Systems, Jewel X and Endgame, not too sure about that. But here's another big name here, besides just her husband. Of the equals, this guy's pretty equal, too. Or her, I don't know. Akshay Naheta, the managing partner of SoftBank, is on the board now. And also Sean Collins, managing partner of Goldfinch Partners.
SoftBank's a big, they're a big player.
Yeah, I mean, That sounds like we want to make sure this thing is successful.
Yeah.
And, honey, you're doing a great job.
But,
and now you're going to do an even greater job. I don't mean
no nepotism.
Give me
some coffee.
Yes. As we flip into our own sexism here. Anyway, progress going along there. In the meantime, Coinbase has another departure. They've been having a lot of departures lately. And this one is Christine Sandler, who has left for Fidelity Investments. She was the institutional services person at Coinbase to bring on people because of her connections from when she was in the New York Stock Exchange, Euro, Barclays, all this. So she's moved on to Fidelity Investments, which has its own custody service now and rivals to
Coinbase.
And looks like, it doesn't look like she's washing her hands of cryptocurrency. It
looks like
washing
she's
her
building
hands of Coinbase.
Yes, yes.
And what they're doing.
So why would you, when you're in a daisy chain, do any washing of hands?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting that you're seeing the New York Stock Exchange. You would think the Nasdaq would be the one that would really be at the forefront of this. And
well, they're working on theirs, too.
I know, but Bakkt's the one that's in the news, and that's the exciting one. And it seems like
partners
that one's
like Starbucks.
Starbucks and stuff like that, which the New York Stock Exchange needs this because they lost Lyft, they lost Uber, they lost Airbnb, they lost, what's the other one that's coming out?
Well, they just announced they got Slack.
Oh, they get, so yeah, Slackers. So, you know, for the Slackers out there, they got Slack. But, I mean.
Have you used Slack?
No. I don't even know what it is.
It's a collaborative software.
You do have to watch
software.
Out when you use
it. It's a collaborative software. I've used it. You know, there's other, you know, Salesforce has their product. It's not a direct rival to Salesforce, but it's that collaborative. You know, Microsoft OneDrive is another way you collaborate,
okay.
And Google has a way to collaborate.
Yeah.
Slack has a way, and just in my exposure to it, I'm not quite sure what the big advantage to Slack is.
I can tell you, Bakkt, you know Bakkt, one of the, it's like Dropbox or OneDrive. That has got to be the worst software.
No, let's be clear. You're talking about the company Bakkt, not Dropbox.
That's correct. I'm talking about Bakkt now, and it's just my opinion out there.
They had some disappointment with getting customers after a lot of growth.
I understand why. My business partner has it on his laptop, and every time if he's offline and he starts his computer, it prevents him from signing in because it's trying to connect to the Internet. And it goes, trying to connect, and he can't get in. It drives him nuts. I'm like, no wonder that's
going. Well, one of the things about Slack that drives me nuts is you're, like, you have a conversation going with your coworkers or whoever you're collaborating with, and you type something, and you want to put a second paragraph. If you hit the return, it transmits.
Yeah, I hate that.
And but on the phone app version of it, you can do that. You can add a paragraph.
Yeah.
It's like, how come I'm getting frustrated about this? And they've got hundreds of million dollars invested, and they haven't fixed it.
They haven't fixed that button. It's a simple button.
Yeah.
You know, return and send. You know, I mean,
let's bring that guy over from next door and let him tell you how he did it. All right, I'm sorry.
Get the right Indian.
Let's get to this last week. This is actually a pretty big story for Coinbase. Coinbase custody arm is trying to entice institutional investors into the world of staking crypto. Starting with Tezos, a proof of stake. Well, you remember there's proof of work coins like Bitcoin. There's proof of stake coins, stake like Dash, Stellar, like that. And the rewards are paid for the stakeholders rather than miners getting rewards. Stakeholders get rewards, and it helps in the governance and the integrity of the system. So what Coinbase is saying for their institutional that they can stake this, they will handle it. They're actually going to put a bond up, too, for the security of the coins their clients are putting up. Anyway, after deducting the Coinbase commission for staking, they should get an annual return of 6.6% on the Tezos. So not only would they get any appreciation of the coin itself, they would get a 6.6 return.
Well, what's Tezos do?
You would ask me that.
I thought it was tequila.
It's a proof-of-stake coin. It probably does something of great importance that people will not be able to
do. Well, after you shut down the border, it won't matter.
But anyway, compared to putting that money in treasury bonds, in a flat market, even not a growing market.
Are you getting 6% on your cash, or are you getting 6% in Tezos?
You're getting a 6.6% return of Tezos.
Okay.
Of course not. But if you're already inclined to invest in altcoins.
That's correct.
For example,
you're making your money work.
Let's just take Stellar, you know, which IBM is using, which seems to have a rosy future. I'm not saying Coinbase Custody is going to be doing Stellar, but if something of that nature, Dash would be a good example.
Yeah.
Dash has been around for a long time. It's widely held. That is a potential
it's like a drip.
One.
It's like a drip.
Right.
You're investing in trips.
But, I mean, it does.
Just hope it don't become a GE.
As we look
well,
for
if you
those
have one
things,
branch of government, you don't need the other two, by the way.
Yeah.
As we look for those things that everybody's been waiting for the ETF, the Bitcoin ETF, to bring to market.
Yeah, that'll make money really go through the roof.
These are things that really can draw the money. So.
And it's just for big money, though, right?
For institutional investors, yeah, I think you have to have a couple hundred thousand dollars to be Coinbase custody. No, I mean, Augie could get on there. I can't get on there.
At one time, I could have. When everything was trading
back before
at its
you
eyes.
Tried some of those.
I will tell you guys that the cannabis Canadian fix is really in, and it's looking good.
Well, they're starting to pull back a little bit. They're pulling back. Remember, once they let the farmers grow it, you're going to have a oversupply. The margins will come down. That's what happened in Oregon. You can get marijuana there cheap. I was kind of I was shocked when I walked in this. The store on every corner, too. And you walk in there, and they have a display case. And there's just all these different cannabises you could buy. And I was shocked at the price. I'm going, back in Florida, guys, I'd be paying $500 an ounce for it. You know, it's like 80. I'm like, wow. So you start to get that in that. But there's some interesting plays in that.
Well, there are two different outfits in Canada that are pretty reputable and 40% gains.
Yeah. Canopy Growth and Aurora. I like both of them.
Well, at this point, for recreational, that's almost the only place you can have a publicly traded company.
Right.
I mean, they're on the New York Stock Exchange, but we have some local vendors in California or Colorado, but they can't scale up because they got banking issues and everything else.
But now they just passed that banking law. They just passed the cannabis. Put it up for vote. So
it's still not passed yet, though.
I don't know if it passed or not, but they
still
said it was pretty much going to pass.
If you're one of those vendors of scaling up when right now the companies in Canada are having trouble scaling up.
Well, of course, in Canada, you have to have an ingrown, you have to have an indoor farm. So that's one of the issues with Canada scaling up. Except for hemp. But in the United States, you could easily, in the southern areas, you could easily grow that as a...
And we still...
Kentucky is the number one cash crop, isn't it?
But still, even the law in Washington, D.C. is just delegating the legalization to the states, so it's still not a interstate marketplace.
That's where the thing is you can't, once you transport it, and that's some of the beverage companies are having issues with that, is if they have a cannabis drink. I can't. And, of course, the FDA... which has always got their fingers in everything.
They have another election to make the change.
Well, the problem with the FDA is it's still illegal to put CBD oil in a beverage.
Oh, yeah.
And they just need to change that. And here's the problem with that, and it has nothing to do with the election. It's too much power in these branches that have no, that should be something that's made in legislation at the legislature branch, not at
Drug administration.
FDA should not be making laws. That was never the intent.
All right. Let me go back to the question about
regulations a little bit
scaling
different.
Up production.
Well, it's a law.
So the real question is, could the black market cannabis, because somehow the marketplace has been supplying people that want illegal cannabis for quite a while now.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have friends of friends that
really?
Have gotten it.
I know,
I have
a friend that has a sister that dates a guy that is in that business.
Surprising.
I wonder how difficult it would be for the producers that are making those tons and tons and tons of production to get it to the level of what is approved by the vendor in California or the vendor in Colorado or something like that.
You know, the one thing with cannabis is that it's not creating new money. It's really transferring money from illegal activities into a...
Well, unless you see money that's exposed as taxable,
it's
new
coming
money.
As taxes and stuff. And so, I think it's great.
But the cannabis that's grown illegally in the forests of California or the forests of Colorado.
Yes.
I wonder how much they would have to upgrade their production to meet the standards to be legal.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by upgrade their production?
Well, right now if you're growing illegal cannabis and you want to spray pesticide on it, you can do whatever you want to it, and it's buyer beware.
That's why you buy the green organic Dutchman. They are one of two organic cannabis
companies. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what the standard is in California or Colorado. They're probably different in some of the other states.
Well, you do know with alcohol, the derelicts would lay by the distillery bottom and the outflow from the distilleries, which, of course, it ran somewhere between 200 and 300 proof, and you'd find them dead in the morning.
I didn't know they did that.
Well, that's an interesting anecdote. I'm not quite sure.
Well, what it really relates to is when you've got something that is regulated, and it is regulated at the distillery, now you got to find a way to regulate this new product that's going to be taxed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They are already regulated at some level. I'm wondering what the difference is, because, as you said, up in Canada, it's got to be indoor, and it's got to meet certain standards there, and you have a whole different standard for medical marijuana. And then we have right here in Sarasota, Manatee, and around the state, you have that company,
like
TrueLeaf. Yeah. You're talking about the doctors.
We've been for the last couple of years, we've been doing warehouses for growers. And
is there a hazard to, and this is a naive question people might ask, is there a dangerous hazard like with alcohol on the level of proof with alcohol?
I don't think anybody's ever overdosed on marijuana.
There is.
In the edibles, I don't know anything about those. But, yes, I mean, I don't think anybody's ever overdosed.
Nobody.
Now, you may have overeaten Cheerios. I mean, there's probably somebody that drowned it in the milk. I mean, I can imagine that. as far as just smoking it away, I inhaled.
Back in the day,
I inhaled. I can tell you right now,
I may have had a friend that left a plate full of brownies out in his house with his parents gone, but his beagle home.
Oh, my God.
And I have to say that...
The beagle was happy.
The beagle definitely felt the effects of that, and he was never quite the same again.
Well,
so I'm sure there is a level of consumption that you can get to, probably not by...
Well, you know, the revenue was
chased
to go into Kentucky Hills and Tennessee and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
And break up the stills, and the stories are funny as hell. But, you know, the alcohol is, of course, more hazardous.
Well, Andy has probably got someone he's got to be picking up.
No, remember, I got the phone call.
Oh, okay, so you're here for the duration.
Well,
we're still going to go to a break right now, and we'll come back and wrap this up, and maybe all this talking about cannabis out of
making me hungry.
Yes, so we're going to talk about McDonald's and artificial intelligence when we come back.
You got any gummies?
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show.
If you enjoy the trading and investment ideas you hear on Talking Markets with Mark and Andy, then you're going to want to become a member of their SeekingCryptos.com membership service. And you can join for absolutely free. When you sign up for a free membership at SeekingCryptos.com, you'll start receiving analysis and perspective by email on trade examples, cryptocurrencies, stocks, metals, educational content, and exclusive offers. SeekingCryptos.com has something for you advanced traders, too. Check out the premium membership, the expert swing trades, or the quant geeks packages. Seeking Cryptos has skin in the game just like you. They post their trades in real time, and you can follow the results right on their portfolio page. So what are you waiting for? Go to SeekingCryptos.com and sign up for your free membership now.
Alcover Massage has been providing quality massage therapy in Bradenton for over 5 years, and we are proud and excited to announce we've expanded our practice and boutique to a larger facility. Located at the historic downtown Bradenton, we're in a charming craftsman-style building across the street from the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. Alcover Massage offers many treatment rooms, a spacious lobby, and doorfront parking spaces just for our clients. But what we're most proud of is our highly qualified massage therapists offering great service to our valued clients. Availability and instant booking is found at lauraalcover.com. Alcover Massage. Like us on Facebook, 204 13th Street West, Bradenton, Florida, 34205. Book your appointments now at lauraalcover.com or call us at 941-592-3187. MN number 34081, MA number 50525.
It's on the way up. It's on the way up. It's on the way up.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Available on your probable podcast platform of choice, iTunes, Podomatic.com, some of the others that you can find out there. Just Google Henry Rain Show and you'll find it somewhere. Augie is in the studio. Andy stepped out, but he'll be back in a minute. I'm not going to go into these stories. Just a couple of the headlines, though, that we were going to possibly talk about today before I come back and actually talk about how McDonald's and artificial intelligence is seeking to make you fat. Russian billionaire Vladimir Putin wants to launch cryptocurrency tokens pegged to the precious metal palladium. Anyway, he wants to establish a regulatory framework and tokenize palladium. The only thing I want to take out of this to move into the next story with is, think about this. He controls the palladium. He's going to control the regulatory framework through his ties with the Putin Kremlin. And he also wants to get into cryptocurrency exchanges. Now, that is very much like what is going on in Japan with a company called... Japan Railways Group, which is thinking about accepting cryptocurrency for the railway.
Actually, they're very far along, Japan is, with accepting
cryptocurrency. Well, it's already legal and regulated, et cetera.
I mean,
but according to ANN News, they would accept this cryptocurrency, Bitcoin possibly, whatever they decide, and they will integrate it with what they call their Suica card, which is a national public transport card that is used for various payments. So they control the card. You pay your cryptocurrency, add it to your card, and they are planning on opening up a cryptocurrency exchange. So they automatically have the inventory, and good luck to them all.
I got to ask a question here. Yeah. Palladium. I've heard of platinum, but not really palladium. What's the story on palladium?
It's used for emissions in cars. So, but palladium, it has a lot of uses. It's more of an industrial metal, but it actually has had a rise. It's been just nuts.
There's a lot of talk underground about it, goes
underground.
Right
around. What underground are you in?
Well, I watch Russian TV for one.
Oh.
It comes up on that every so often.
Yeah. We'll
report you after the show about
that's
that.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Watch Russian Collusion. I'm not a big plate. There's one metal that I like. There's two metals I like, silver and gold. Other than that,
No platinum.
I don't own any platinum.
Well, actually, I was at Andy's birthday party, and I've never met so many metalheads there that weren't into rock and roll.
Yeah.
They were all into their gold and their silver, and there was someone that was talking about palladium and how it made the new record price.
Yes.
And one of the things that he pointed out, and if he was at Andy's party, he must be an expert, was, because I asked him, I said, well, what do you use palladium for? And he says, well, pretty much what you use platinum for. But you can't, they're not interchangeable once you have the use. So, once the marketplace shifts over to one, it's at the expense of the other one. So, in the weeks to come, I'm sure Andy will tell us about palladium and platinum and what happens.
Converters.
I knew that, but yeah.
That was their big thing. So.
Well, there's also the battery product that's made, the improved batteries. There's another product for that they have now.
Lithium.
Beyond lithium.
Well,
I know what you're talking about. We're going to move on because I don't know that on the tip of my tongue, and I want to keep the show rolling.
Yeah.
Because, you talk about catalytic converters, you're talking about gas, we're talking about McDonald's.
Yes,
and
I love
artificial
McDonald's.
Intelligence.
I'm a McDonald's fan.
McDonald's just bought an artificial intelligence company for $300 million.
Wow.
And they're going to integrate it in what they like to euphemistically call their customer service, what we might say is the ordering menu at the drive-up.
Sure.
So this artificial intelligence program, first of all, there's the recognition of the customer, which, whether it's there or not, eventually you're going to look into your order screen,
and it's going to tell you what you
it'll
order.
Recognize who you are. There was someone that was on Twitter that put up it was a cryptocurrency person that was in China, and he put up a video of him in the Chinese airport, and when he walks up to the screen to find out his gate, et cetera, the screen recognizes him personally and gives him his personal information.
Wow.
It's not like look at the big board and try and figure out which flight is yours. It's, hi, Augie.
Yeah.
We've been watching you.
You just mentioned SoftBank. SoftBank was a lot into that.
All right. So anyway, you come up to McDonald's, and I have seldom shopped at McDonald's, but I have gone there a couple times in the last couple years looking for something specifically, like sort of like a frozen coffee drink. And you get to the board, and you don't see it because McDonald's now has so many items on their menu they can't display it, but it's a dynamic screen. They could display whatever was appropriate on that screen if they knew what was appropriate. So now the artificial intelligence eventually will be recognizing you. I'm not saying it does that now, but there still will be an interchange. You know, you have your McDonald's rewards or something. It's going to know who you are somewhere. It's going to know what you liked in the past, and it's not just going to be ordering you, helping you order from what you know you've ordered. It's going to say, well, it's sort of cold today, Augie. Would you like a hot drink? We see that 2 years ago you got hot cocoa. Let's get you that. Mm. And then
that was because I was with a hot woman.
Yes. Well, of course, you were with Pat.
That's not your wife.
And, looks like my wife.
And then, or it's a hot day. You want an ice cream with that, et cetera. And but they've already tested this.
Yeah.
And they found that it is successful in upselling the average purchase.
I can imagine because, you know, we go to Culver's. That's kind of our thing that we do. And I go there and I get one of their custards with blueberries in it.
You know what ruined Culver's?
What?
It was the darn federal government when they required them to put the calories up on the order.
Oh, God.
Go ahead, tell us
the
story.
Burgers, aren't they? I mean, they are. But, you know, you go in there and you order blueberry. You know, I order blueberry pretty much every time I go in there. I can see something like that where they go, oh, well, we got this, you know, they realize that I like blueberries, and they go, oh, we got this special on it. You get blueberries and raspberries, and it's only a dollar more. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll take it. You know, it's starting to sound like, you ever see the movie WALL-E?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's starting to sound like that. That's what we're all going to be, just, you know, big blobs of skin, you know, drinking shakes and ordering at McDonald's. I mean, that's what it's going to be. The
dying early.
Well, as long as you're making money, they will find a way to keep you alive.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, just
speaking from experience of staying alive under difficult circumstances, Henry's got the background. When we did the radio show together, I was 10 weeks in the hospital from the upper aorta going out, and almost no one survives from that, especially unless it's planned for. You don't make it through that. So we did the show.
You're supremely honorary and coiled up inside.
There you go. That would be right. They flighted from Sarasota Memorial all the way to Gainesville.
Oh, wow.
And this last one I had at Christmas time, they were going to do the same thing and sent me to Tampa General. Now I'm going to know tomorrow if they screwed up.
Well, Tampa General is a pretty good hospital out here.
They've had a curious history. Hmm. And the doctor that operated on me is no longer there.
Ooh. Well, how can it be screwed up if you've gone this long?
Oh, well, to understand the connection between one aortic aneurysm and another is to know that when a doctor starts farting around with the first one, you start to become suspicious. And that's what I'm going to find out tomorrow if they screw things up.
And what would be the resolution of it all?
Another surgery.
Oh.
Wow. That's horrible. On the house, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. I got Medicare. That's the only thing probably saving from that. Yeah, no, it's the real world. You know, that one took me down before Christmas. Was the most gruesome pain I've ever experienced.
Well, I can imagine.
It really was.
Well, we're just blessed to have you back.
No, it's fine, and my voice is hopefully going to I got another operation on my voice yet, too.
See, up until that moment ago, I was thinking that his skin and all was looking better color. And
yeah.
And I'm definitely.
But now I'm going to have to just put it off on the lighting, I guess.
No, I'm doing okay that way. It's just that I'm a little bit concerned tomorrow. I've got to do a CAT scan and a ultrasound, both.
All right. Well, we will get the progress report next Monday, then.
You will.
All right, and thanks.
I enjoy coming up here, and I fought the traffic because I enjoy it so much, and I do want to wish you a belated birthday.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks, Andy. Thanks, Augie. Thanks to the audience. We'll be back next Monday right after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew at 4:05. We'll be on at 5:05 with Henry Rain Show.
Living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK.